Yes, what a great week. What a great week we've had. Just praising the Lord and thanking Him for our two new missionary families that we're now supporting. And one announcement. Ladies, there will be a short meeting. We have our volunteer for the missions board that we were bringing to the church last Sunday. The twins, Catherine and Laura, have volunteered to be the missions coordinator. So they're going to make up the board, you know, and I'll have all our missionary families on there, put the newsletters, so we'll know each week to pray for them. We'll be reminded. But they want to have a meeting with the ladies Sunday morning after service to bounce ideas off each other. I'm thinking what they ought to do is have like one of those threefold. They fold out so that, you know, it's about 6 feet wide, about 2.5 feet high. And that way, when we add families, we'll have room to add families to it, you know? And we can set it up each Sunday. That'll be great. All right, let's grab our hymnals tonight for our final hymn. And we'll go to hymn 60. Let's stand. Hymn 60 tonight. And we're really, the whole church is so excited about our missions projects. It's just so good to support missionaries. Praise the Lord for that. Lord is blessing. Hymn 60, Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. This hymn is a prayer. And we mean this. When we sing this to the Lord, we want to be led by Him. Glory. And we're going to sing the first, the second, and the fourth of Hymn 60. And we'll stand. Praise the Lord. Yes.
Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Much we need thy tender's care. In thy blessed pastures feed us, for our use thy folds prepare. Blessed Jesus, thou hast brought us thy we are. Blessed Jesus, thou hast brought we are thine, do thou befriend us, be the guardian of our way. Keep thy flock from sin, defend us, seek us when we go astray. Blessed Jesus. Thou hast heard us when we pray. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, hear, O hear us when we pray. Early let us seek thy favor, early let us do thy will. Amen. Blessed Lord and only Savior, with thy love our bosoms fill. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, thou hast loved us still. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, thou hast loved us, still.
Oh, amen. Please be seated, church. Good singing tonight. So good to see your faces on a Wednesday night. I'm so thankful for your faithfulness in attendance on a midweek service. It means a lot to us. And I'm so glad that the Bible says where two or more are gathered together in His name, there am I in the midst, Jesus said. Oh, I'm so glad He's always in our midst. Praise the Lord. Let's grab our Bibles at this time and open up to the book of Galatians, chapter 3. I'm so excited tonight because we're back to our studies expositionally in the book of Galatians. It's been about 5 weeks now that the Lord had us doing other things on Wednesday nights, and there's nothing wrong with that. We're led by the Spirit, amen? We're not under some religious rituals and rules and regulations. We're led by the Spirit of God. And he's having us come back tonight to our studies in the book of Galatians, because the power is in the Word. Amen? That's why we dedicate Wednesday nights to verse-by-verse studies in the Word of God. So tonight, as we come to chapter 3 of Galatians, we're going to cover 4 more verses. That would be 11 through 14. And I've titled tonight's message, The Blessing of Abraham. The Blessing of Abraham. I wish we had a few more folks tonight, but I'm glad we're taping, because this is a tremendous blessing, what we're about to partake in the Word of God here tonight, church. Trust me, you will leave here tonight seriously blessed because of what the Word of God says about you and I. In Galatians chapter 3, we pick up the context in verse 11. Now remember, last time, it's been a while, about 6 weeks now, we saw in verse 10 that the works of the law bring a curse. And anybody that is under the works, trying to seek justification by works or by law, is cursed because it's written in the book of the law. In verse 11, we pick it up. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Beloved, I want to speak to you on the blessing of Abraham tonight. Father in heaven, how we thank you for these incredible verses before our eyes. Lord, how we thank you for the incredible promises of the Word of God. Lord, we thank you that you had a plan when you called Abram out of Ur of the Chaldees, and you chose him to make a great nation, Israel. And Lord, that through his seed you would bless the entire world. That's why we're here tonight, because we are recipients of that blessing of Abraham. Father, we ask you to bless your word and give us understanding spiritually by thy Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Beloved, I want to start with a question tonight. Question is, what does it mean to be under the curse of the law? Notice in verse number 13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. The curse of the law. We see this repeated, this term, the curse of the law, over and over again. But what does it mean to be under the curse of the law? Listen, another question for you before we answer that question. Is the law of God an evil thing? No, it's not. The law is holy and just and good, Romans 7 tells us. So what is the curse of the law? Go with me to Deuteronomy 27. This is not my message tonight, but I want us to understand what Paul is speaking about when he says the curse of the law. In Deuteronomy chapter 27, I want to show you what that means, the curse of the law. And it's simple. The Bible tells us what it is. In Deuteronomy chapter 27, look with me at verse 1. And Moses with the elders of Israel commanded the people, saying, keep all the commandments which I command you this day. Okay? The law. He says, keep all of the law. Go drop down to verse number 26. Same chapter. What's that first word?
Cursed.
Cursed be he or she that confirmeth not all the words of this law to do them. And all the people shall say amen. So the Bible tells us that the curse of the law is for that individual who does not keep the whole law. Right? Now let me ask you a question. Is anybody able to keep the law? No. Therefore, we're all excluded from justification by the law. And we're all under the curse of the law. The curse of the law is when you break it. You see that? Cursed be everyone that confirmeth not all the words of this law to do it. Cursed. We're all cursed. So we need what? We need redemption from the curse that we're under. Right? Now, I want you to get the thinking here. The logic of Paul's passage. Go with me to Jeremiah chapter 11. Once again, this is not my message tonight, but preparatory. In Jeremiah chapter 11, what is the curse of the law? The Bible tells us over and over and over what it is. In Jeremiah chapter 11, we're going to move right along tonight. Got some turf to cover, even though it's only four verses. In Jeremiah 11, look at verse 3. God says to Jeremiah, and say unto them, Israel, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, cursed be the man that obeyeth not the words of this covenant, which I commanded your fathers in the day that I brought them forth out of the land of Egypt from the iron furnace, saying, obey my voice and do them according to all which I command you. So shall ye be my people, and I will be your God. You see what he said? He said, you have to keep the whole law. Or, verse 3, cursed be the man that obeyeth not all the words of this law. See that? The curse of the law. There it is again. Now, let's examine tonight. Go back to Galatians chapter 3. The curse of the law is for all people, because all people have broken the law of God. All people. Okay? So all people need redemption from that curse. Now, the first thing I want you to see tonight is the inability of the law to justify a sinner. Look with me in Galatians chapter 3. Look with me at verse 11. The inability of the law to justify a sinner. Verse 11. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. Paul says it's so obvious that nobody can be justified by the law, because nobody can keep the law in every point perfectly, as Jesus Christ did. Now, here we're told that no human being has ever been justified by the law. Why? Because no human being, except one, has ever been able to keep the whole law. Go to Romans chapter 3. Hold your place in Galatians again. Romans chapter 3. This is good stuff tonight. In Romans chapter 3, look with me at verse 19. Now, I'm going to move right along. We know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Wow! Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. He says the only thing the law can do for you is prove that you're guilty. Prove that you're a sinner. And prove that you're lost without God and need of a Savior. You see that? The law can only condemn you and put you under the curse of the law. That's the curse of the law. That individual who does not keep it perfectly, which includes all of us. Now, let me make a statement. Every single human being in this world right now is either under the curse of the law or under the blessing of Abraham. Amen? Look at verse number 10. I want to show you that. Galatians 3, verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the what?
Curse.
The curse of the law. It is written, cursed everyone that continues not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. So there is Paul separating people into two groups worldwide. Everyone is either under the curse of the law or under the blessing of Abraham. We're going to see that tonight. You're going to get excited because it includes you. Secondly tonight, back in Galatians chapter 3. not only the inability of the law to justify, but observe what does have the ability to justify. What does have the ability to justify? Look at verse 11 again. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just, that's justified, shall live eternally by faith. By faith. Now, listen, beloved, how I need you to hear me here. Paul, by God's Spirit, tells us in verse 11 that there is only one way that a man or woman can be justified before God. And it is not by the law. Go with me to Habakkuk. It's by faith. Habakkuk, Old Testament book. Before Zephaniah and after Nahum, you'll find the little minor prophet Habakkuk. And look what it says here in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Old Testament. And he's pointing to just, what does it say? Let me read that again. But the just, verse 4, that's justified, shall live, that's eternally, by his faith. You see that? By his faith. Now he's saying the first part of that verse, his soul which is lifted up, that's prideful, is not upright. What brings pride? Self-accomplishment. Oh, I can keep the law. Oh, I'm a goody-two-shoes. I'm holier than thou. No, you're not. You're condemned. You're under the curse of the law. But he says the justified shall live by his faith. Go with me to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10. Now, what I'm going to show you tonight is going to shock you. But you're going to love it. I guarantee it. Every true child of God loves this truth that's about to be unveiled. Look with me in Hebrews chapter 10. Look at verse 38. Now, the just, who are the just? Those who are what? Justified. All people in the world are either justified and on their way to heaven or unjustified under the curse of the law on the way to hell. Okay? Now, the just shall live by faith, not by works and not by law. By faith. Go with me to Romans chapter 1. Over and over and over, the Holy Spirit attempts to pound this truth into our skulls. Look with Romans chapter 1 at verse 17. Speaking about the gospel. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. There it is again. Now, when he says live, folks, he's talking about spiritual life. You either have spiritual death because of sin, or you have spiritual life because of regeneration, okay? And he says the just shall live by faith. Now, let's go back to Galatians chapter 3. Now, another question arises, and this is important. Whose faith is the scripture speaking of in verse 11? Oh, you're going to love this. Look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 11. For the just shall live by faith. Okay, we all got that. But the question I'm posing is, whose faith is it? Immediately, 99 out of 100 Christians say, mine, me, myself, and I. But it's not. I'm going to shock you. Look with me in chapter 3 of Galatians at verse 22. But the scripture, see, it doesn't matter what you say. You know what you imagine is what the scripture says. Amen? The scripture hath concluded all under sin that the promise by faith of who? Notice the wording. This is why you have to have a King James Bible. You will not get this in an NIV. He says, but the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, wait a minute. He just said faith came to the earth. Oh, I thought Jesus came. Yup. You got to follow this passage, folks, closely. before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith, which should afterwards be revealed. He's been revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster, to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Whose faith? Verse 22 tells us whose faith it is. Go with me to chapter 2 of Galatians. Look at verse 16. Paul writes, by the Holy Ghost, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith, what's the next word? Of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. Oh, I'm going to get you to see this tonight. And not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Listen to me. If you could walk around and boast and say, my faith saved me. I'm so such a spiritual giant because I have faith. You're out of bounds. It's the faith of Jesus Christ that saved you. And I'm going to show you that. Look in Romans 3. Oh, this is so good. I was so excited about tonight. Romans chapter 3, look at verse 22. 22, we read, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of... Do you realize tonight, before we continue, that if Jesus Christ wasn't faithful to God the Father perfectly, entirely, and completely throughout his life on earth, you could not be saved. You could not be saved from your sins. But because he was perfectly, he lived by faith every moment of his life on earth. That faith of Jesus Christ becomes yours when you receive him. Look at it. 22. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto... Wow. His faith is going unto somebody. And his righteousness unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. Now, speaking of Jesus Christ, he says that it is his faith that comes upon all who believe the gospel. Go to Galatians. And let me ask you a question. Even your faith is the gift of God. Okay? Ephesians 2, you know the verse 6 and 7. It is not of works, lest any man should boast. It's the gift of God. By grace through faith, and that not of yourselves. I've often been asked, Pastor, what are they speaking of when he says that not of yourselves, the grace or the faith? And I always answer the same, both. It's speaking of both the grace and the faith that saved you. Both of them are the gift of God. Faith is a gift of God, given to the sinner who seeks truth. My sister told me in 1985, she said, Bob, don't believe me what I'm telling you about the Bible and Jesus Christ. I wasn't saved. She said, you tell God, you say this to God, I want the truth. Reveal your truth to me. And I did, and he did. He wants to reveal his grace and faith to every individual, but we have to first want it, okay? Now, go with me to Hebrews chapter 12. Here, we're going to nail it down. Before we continue on. Hebrews chapter 12. If you haven't seen it yet, you will right now. Somebody's out there looking in. Praise the Lord. Come on in and join us. Hebrews chapter 12. Look at verse 2. Looking unto Jesus. The what?
The author.
Author. Time out. What is an author? What does an author do?
Right.
Creates a book. Right? He creates something that did not exist before. He authors something called a book. Look at it. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our what? Wow. When you see this, oh, I hope you have your spiritual seatbelts buckled. Because Jesus Christ is writing a book tonight. It's called the Lamb's Book of Life. And he writes in it your name when you come to him for salvation. Amen? That's the author of the book of the Lamb's Book of Life, Jesus Christ. Now, look what it says in verse 2. looking unto Jesus, the author or creator and finisher. You know what an author does? If he's worth the salt, he'll finish the book that he started. Jesus Christ is going to finish the book with the last name of the last soul to get saved. Put his name in that book. Amen. Oh, this is so good. When your name goes into this book, you have saving faith in you. Wow. All right, we've seen the inability of the law to justify. We've seen what does have the ability to justify, the faith of Jesus Christ. But thirdly tonight, notice the direct opposition between law and faith. Back to Galatians chapter 3. Notice the direct opposition between law and faith. These Christians, I'm telling you, who want to mix law of Moses with the faith and grace of Jesus Christ, are not playing with a full deck. They just do not comprehend what the Bible teaches. Look with me in verse 12. And the law, you know, that Mosaic code, all of it, is not of faith. But the man that doeth them shall live in them. What does that mean? Listen carefully. Paul is simply saying that all those who seek justification by works will fail. Because, why? Because the law is diametrically opposed to faith. It's completely against faith. Now, if any man, there's a but in verse 12. But if any man could keep the law perfectly in all points, then he would be justified by it. Go to Leviticus. I want to show you this. You want to be justified by works? Okay. Here's how you can do it. Go with me to Leviticus chapter 18. There was one who did this, by the way. Oh, yeah. That's why you've got to get into him. Because he accomplished this feat. No other human being in the history of mankind has accomplished the feat that he did. He kept the whole law. Look at Leviticus chapter 18. Look with me at verse number 5. Don't miss this. Verse number 5. Ye, God speaking through Moses' pen, ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. I am the Lord. God just told the people of Israel that if any one of them could keep the entire Mosaic code in all points, he could have eternal life. He made that offer and he meant it. None of them could. And I'm going to show you that right now. There is a problem to this equation. Go with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Ecclesiastes, just before Isaiah, go to chapter 7. There's a problem, Houston. Look with me in verse 20. God means what he says. Verse 20. For there is not a just man. What does that word just mean? Justified. There is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Now, you've got to believe the whole counsel of God. God says, yes, if you can keep my law and not sin, you can be justified, have eternal life by the law. But right here it says there's not one single man on planet earth who can do good, that's keep the law, and sin not. Not one. Does that include you? Yeah, that includes me. That includes all of us. Go with me to 1 Kings chapter 8. In case you doubt, 1 Kings chapter 8. And look with me at verse 46. Chapter 8 of 1 Kings, verse 46. Solomon, the writer says, verse 46, if they sin against thee, watch it, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with them, and deliver them to the enemy, so that they carry them away captives unto the land of the enemy, far and near. There is no man that sinneth not. That includes the entire human race, folks. Go to 2 Chronicles, chapter 6, and then we'll move on. Thank you. Nice and cold. In 2 Chronicles, chapter 6, look at verse 36. If they sin against thee, For there is no man which sinneth not. There is no man which sinneth not. God looks at the entire race of Adam and says not one single one of them does not sin. That means that every single human being stands in need of redemption from the curse of the law. Okay, fourthly tonight, back to Galatians. We've seen the inability of the law to justify. We've seen what can justify, the faith of Jesus Christ. We've seen the direct opposition between law and faith. But fourthly, observe the good news. Verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Now, here is the bedrock foundation of biblical Christianity. That every single soul that embraces Jesus Christ as Savior is, present tense, redeemed from the curse of the law. That's why Paul said there's only two types of people in the world. Under the curse of the law or under the grace of Jesus Christ. There's no neutral ground. Verse 13 says there's a whole bunch of people who have been, past tense, redeemed from the curse of the law. You see that? Now, look at chapter 4 of Galatians. Look at verse 5. He came, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. The only way that we can become a son or daughter of God is by being redeemed from the curse of the law by the Redeemer. You see that? It's so clear. You see the word redeemed in verse 13 of Galatians 3? Redeemed? The Greek word there is exagorazo. Exagorazo. It literally means by payment of a price to recover from the power of another. By payment of a price to recover from the power of another. That's what redeemed means. He paid the price to recover you and me from the power of someone who's stronger than us. That's the devil. Now, I got a question for you. What price did he pay to recover us from the power of our enemy, the devil? Go with me to Matthew chapter 20. Hold your place in Galatians. Matthew chapter 20. It's crystal clear what price he paid to recover us from the power of the enemy. In Matthew chapter 20, look with me at verse 28. Even as the Son of Man came, not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his what? Life. A ransom for many. Folks, what he had to give in order to release us from the power of another, which is the devil, is his own life. It cost the life, blood, of the Son of God to redeem you and me from sin. How should we hate sin? How should we hate sin? Considering what it cost our Heavenly Father. The price of his own son's life. Oh, this is so powerful. Oh, man. Now, notice how he paid it. Look with me back in Galatians 3. How did he pay the price of his life? Verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Do you know why Jesus Christ had to die on a cross? Because a cross is a what?
Tree.
It's a tree. It's made from a tree. Those big logs, they're from trees. And they make a cross with those logs, and they nail them to it. Now, go to Deuteronomy 21. It's amazing how the whole Bible fits together like a glove. In Deuteronomy chapter 21, Jesus Christ had to fulfill this curse for you and me. And he did. In Deuteronomy chapter 21, look with me at verse 23. Verse 23. Look at 22. The law says, and if a man have committed a sin worthy of death, you and I have, and he be put to death, you and I should have been, and thou hang him on a tree, his body shall not remain all night upon the tree, but thou shalt in any wise bury him that day. For he that is hanged is accursed of God. that thy land be not defiled, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. Now, notice here that he that is hanged on a tree is what? Accursed of God. You know what he did? He nailed your curse and my curse to the tree of Calvary and he crucified it. He destroyed it. He was made a curse for us. That should have been you and me on that tree, on that cross. That should have been you and me dying the death, the sin worthy of death. He took it for us. Now, fifthly tonight, back to Galatians chapter number 3. How did he do it? He did it by dying on a tree. Fifthly, observe why, we're almost done. Observe why he did it. Verse 14. That, or so that, the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, the reason is simple. Why he paid the price for you and I to be redeemed from the power of the enemy, the devil. It's so that we could inherit the Abrahamic blessing. Look at it, the wording. The blessing of Abraham might come on us Gentiles. Does that mean that we become Jewish? No. You know Abraham has two seeds. He has a physical seed. That is the Jewish race. And he has a spiritual seed. All those who are justified by faith. Listen to me. I'm going to show you this too. We are Abraham's seed, verse 28, 29, and heirs according to the promise. Okay? The Abrahamic blessing. We are Abraham's spiritual seed. Theologians who get this wrong miss the whole Bible. It messes up all of their doctrine, and they become replacement theologues. And they're good for nothing because they preach false doctrine. Oh, I'm a Jewish. I'm Jewish. No, you're not. That's like saying, I'm black. Am I black? No. Am I Chinese? No. I'm American. I'm a white American. I can't change that. And you can't say, I'm becoming Jewish. No, no. But you can become Abraham's seed. Spiritually. Spiritually. They're not spelt the same. Observe why he did it. That the blessing of Abraham may come on us Gentiles. What? What is the blessing of Abraham? What is the blessing of Abraham? Go to Genesis chapter 12. I want you to see something that was promised to this world in the first book of the Bible. In the first opening chapters of the Word of God, God made a promise to the entire world. Genesis chapter 12. What is the blessing of Abraham? Listen, the Bible tells us clearly what it is. Look at verse 3. God says, Abraham, in verse number 2, God says, I am going to make you a blessing. Okay? God's speaking to Abraham. I'm going to make you a blessing. That's the blessing of Abraham. And, 3, I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee, Abraham, shall all families of the earth be what? Blessed. Blessed. That right there is the blessing of Abraham. Whatever that means, we're going to see. That is the blessing of Abraham to all the families of the earth. Now go to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. Over and over and over, God makes a promise to the whole world. And to Abraham's physical seed as well. Look at it. You got to decipher between the two if you want to interpret the Bible correctly. In Genesis 22, look at verse 18. And in thy seed, in thy seed, singular, not plural, shall all the nations of the earth be blessed because thou hast obeyed my voice, Abraham. See that? He says, now he's narrowing down this blessing to a particular seed. Okay? Go to chapter 26. God means what he says, and I am so glad tonight that God always keeps his promises. Chapter 26. Look with me at verse 4. 26, verse 4. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, Abraham. and will give unto thy seed, singular, all these countries. And in thy seed, singular, shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Now, again, God promises that all you Gentiles, the entire world, is going to be blessed through a particular seed that's an offspring of Abraham. Okay? Chapter 28. Chapter 28, look with me at verse 14. And thy seed, Isaac, shall be as the dust of the earth. And that's speaking of physical Israel. And numberless. And thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in thee, Isaac, and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Here again, he promises that through a particular Jew, a particular seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, one particular man, the entire world would be blessed by him. Okay, we're going to see that as we progress. But go to Acts chapter number 3, New Testament, book of Acts. Almost done. Right on schedule tonight. In Acts chapter 3, look with me at verse 25. Ye are, Peter says, ye are the children of the prophets, and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. So, whatever this blessing of Abraham is, to the Gentiles, it has to come through a particular seed of the physical man named Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now listen carefully. The actual blessing of Abraham is called justification. Okay? The blessing that he's speaking of, when he, the terminology, the blessing of Abraham, is justification by faith. That's what it is. That the Gentiles could be justified by faith. For every single believer in the world, even as Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness, even so the Gentiles should believe God and have imputed righteousness. But finally tonight, notice, let's clear it all up, back in Galatians chapter 3. Notice what always accompanies this blessing of Abraham, this justification by faith. What accompanies it? This is very important. And this is why I'm so excited tonight. Look at verse 14. Something always accompanies it. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. There's the seed. That we, Gentiles, might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Notice the capital S on Spirit in verse 14. Beloved, I beg you to hear me in closing tonight. Because here we find the greatest blessing of all, the promise of the Spirit that you and I receive. That is, God made this promise to Abraham that every single individual who chooses to follow his faith in justification in the living God would receive something so special that words cannot describe it. Go with me to Luke 24. We're going to finish up here with what this promise is. It always accompanies justification by faith. Luke chapter 24. Jesus is getting ready to go back to heaven, right? He's been risen from the dead now. He's already paid the price for our sins. And watch what he says. In Luke 24, verse 49, he tells his disciples, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. Whatever the promise is, Jesus says, I am going to send it to you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Okay? Jesus says, wait in Jerusalem and I am going to send the promise. Go to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1 tells us what this promise is. And it's good. Good and very good. Look at verse 4. Acts 1 verse 4. And they obeyed Jesus' words. They assembled in Jerusalem. being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait. Got to wait for something. For the what? Promise of my Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water. Water can't help you. But ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, not many days hence. Now go to chapter 2. You all know what happens in chapter 2. Pentecost. Who comes down from heaven to indwell every true believer? The Holy Spirit. And look at Peter's preaching in chapter 2, verse 33. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, Jesus Christ, and having received of the Father the what? The promise of the Holy Ghost, he, Jesus, had shed forth this, the Holy Spirit, which ye now see and hear. Woo! Folks, it's shouting time. Indeed, beloved, we have this treasure, the promise of the Holy Spirit, in earthen vessels. This great promise that God himself would indwell his dear children by his own Spirit through his own Son, we have received. We have received the promise of the Spirit. You know why you're in church tonight? Because you have received the promise of the Spirit. This is not a social club. Amen? This is the family of God. And this is not some dead religion. This is a living church of the living God. Oh, look at it, Galatians 3. In closing, look at this. Galatians 3, verse 11. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Father in heaven, how we thank you for these four verses. Lord, these, oh, these are right up there in the top five passages of Holy Writ. There's no question about it. Because, Lord, what this speaks is so glorious, we don't have words to describe it. But we're so grateful tonight, Lord, that we believe it and we have received it. Oh, it is so good to know the truth, Lord, and to have been set free by the Spirit of truth through Jesus Christ. Lord, I want to thank you for something very special tonight. I want to thank you for redeeming our souls from the hand of another that was too strong for us. We couldn't do it. So Jesus Christ came from heaven and rolled up his sleeves and did what no man could do. Lord, we thank you that you did it perfectly. And we thank you that the salvation you give, the eternal life you provide, is forever. The devil knows that. That's why he hates us. Lord, we thank you for the victory tonight. It's already won on the cross in your resurrection. We serve a risen, living, coming Savior tonight. And he's coming soon. We thank you for that. Lord, come quickly. And Lord, we thank you for your word tonight. What a great encouragement. What divine comfort we receive through the word of God. And Lord, we're not done. Galatians is going to get even better than this as we continue through verse by verse. Lord, we're going to be blessed. We love you tonight. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Church, let's grab our hymnals at this time. And let's stand up for a closing hymn tonight. Let's go to hymn number 185. Hymn 185 really speaks to what we have been studying tonight. Love lifted me. Why did he do it? Because he loved us so much that he was willing to come, become one of us, and die on the cross for our sins. Glory to God. Love lifted me. We'll sing all three as we stand and praise his name. I was sinking deep in
and sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, for underwater lifted me, the sea love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. I my heart to him I give, ever to him I cling, in his blessed presence live, ever his praises sing.
Amen.
Love so mighty and so true merits my soul's best songs. Faithful love and service due to him belong.
John 3:16.
When nothing else could help, John 3:16. When nothing else could help, look above, Jesus completely saves. He will lift you by his love out of those angry waves.
Amen!
Love the master of the sea, willows his will obey. He will save you once the baby saved today.
Love lifted me, love lifted me.
Oh, when nothing else could help, love.
Yes, indeed. Oh, praise the Lord. Brother Mark is missing some prayer tonight.
Dear Lord, thank you for this evening. Appreciate being with a close Christian family, church family. And let us keep our energy positive for the rest of the week, and hopefully we'll all be here on Sunday. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.